here we have this afternoon Bruno Cornick. He's an engineer at the French Ecole Centrale de Lyon, and he's been managing various Unix systems since 1987, so he knows a bit about Unix, and of course Linux since 1993, which is, probably that's about 0.99 or something like that.
Yeah, it's important.
He's been a software engineer and a configuration manager for at least 8 years. Outside of computers, he also likes early and Baroque music, singing and playing the recorder, and he's lucky enough to have 3 kids.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So he's still sane as well, which is amazing. I only had 2 and I'm not sane. Let me introduce to you Bruno Cornick with his talk.
So the first question I ask myself when arriving here is, what am I doing here? I mean, I'm not known, I'm just a small guy coming from a foreign country and trying to speak English. And so I tried to find some answers to that question. So probably it's because I'm coming from France and speaking very, very nice accent, français. Maybe it's one of the reasons you invited me, but really singing it, I don't think so. It's not probably the good one. Said also, part of the big firm at HP. The reason, and they're very high-profile people from HP here already, you know, who are delivering nice talk and showing the right direction for the right main person from HP, who is probably James Cameron. So, sorry, that's not the right reason either. So I thought, okay, I'm probably a great speaker, even if nobody listened to me before speaking in this country. And I said, maybe I will have a bright and vibrant auditorium for me, but it was not for me. So I say, okay, I'm a renowned expert, I know Linux for a certain amount of years, as you said, .99, PL14, but okay, probably those guys also know that for much more longer than I, so that's also not a good reason. Maybe I take my features, okay, Andre is using my camera. So I said, okay, I'm taking nice pictures, but there are also other people taking nice pictures during that event. So lost again. So I said, okay, finally, maybe some of those people were not available to come here and speak to you and sing to some special speakers. And I said, okay, bingo, that's it. I found it. Except that it's made me more for the details than for the person in itself, you know. Yes, because I also have my recorder, such as RMS. And I said, okay, so why am I here? It's because I have a recorder, and I can play recorder. Okay, and that. I mean, this is really unique because you will never hear Richard Stallman playing like that. I mean, I can't do EMAC, but he can't do recorder except on the picture, just for the picture. So I'm the only one doing both open source and recorder, really. I mean, so that's probably why I'm here. The probable other reason that I need to speak about a special project I'm worked on since some time. So that was the music part of the talk, and now we have to deal with the open source part of the talk. So back in 2000, I needed a tool to do cloning of machines for HP in EMEA, in Europe. They wanted to replicate configurations, and people in the plant had no clue on what Linux was. They just wanted a system to put a CD in the box, to boot the machine, to type, restore it, and it will just deploy a whole completely pre-installed Linux version on it, and they will be able to use it. And so I was looking for a tool which could help me doing that exactly. And there were at the time only 2 choices, and there are always two choices only to do that today, to my knowledge. One was MKC Direct, and another one was Mondo Rescue. And these two projects were quite new at the time. And I tried both of them. And Mondo Rescue was nearer from what I had to do with it. And the guy maintaining it at the time, or creating it also, Hugo Robson, was a very nice guy. You can have an interaction with him with mail. He was receiving advices. He was wanting to add functions. So that was the right way for me to go. And he was also happy to receive some patches. And I added one patch to support automatic restore for the plant in Europe, so that people just have to type restore the server, and it will deploy everything automatically without asking any question. It was not the case at the time. So the functions, from a user's point of view, the functions of Mondo Rescue are mentioned here on the slide. First, it's distribution neutral. So it's working for a lot of distribution, and more today than it was in 2000. It supports a lot of file systems. In fact, it supports everything that is provided by your kernel. As long as your kernel supports XT2, XT3, RiserFS, XFS, you name it, whatever, Mondo Rescue will be able to take into account the data hosted on that file system and back them up inside the recovery media it will create. It also supports very easily combination of hardware red, software red, LVM, version 1, version 2. That's not a problem. The media it creates and on which you will store your backup and recovery information can be stored on CD, DVD. It could be also on tapes, various type of tapes. It could be also under the form of an ISO file instead of the real media. And that ISO file can be stored either locally on a disk or remotely through the network using NFS, for example. To create, so when you want to do a disaster recovery, the main problem you have is you want to boot the system using your media and to restore from bare metal. So you have nothing on your system, you want a media, you can boot on it, and it will redeploy your system exactly the way it was before when you take the picture. And in order to do that, you have to create a small distribution which will handle that boot process and that delivery process on the machine, reinstallation, partitioning, recreating the LVM environment, et cetera, et cetera. So Mondo Rescue provides one specific tool called Mindy, which is used to create that small distribution that will be used during the reboot phase to create everything which is necessary on the server to work correctly. It supports full and differential backups, even if I never tried differential backups. And Andre said to me it was working, so I'm happy with that. And it has a command line interface with a lot of options, describing the main page for those curious, and also a curses-based interface which asks you clever questions about what you want to do to back up your system. So the tool is divided in two main parts. You have the part concerning creation of the backup set, which is done using the Mondo archive command. So if we go more in detail around the functions provided by the tool, it can use various compression algorithms. Historically, the main one was BZIP2. So the main drawback of BZIP2 is that it's quite slow when you want to compress things. So Hugo Robson added the support for LZO, which is another compressor. The drawback of LZO is that it's not provided with most of the distributions. You have to add a package, you have to find it, you have to recompile it, whatever. So recently I did also support for GZIP, which is much more standard on all Linux distributions, and which is good balance between performance and compression ratio. So at the end, it creates quite rapidly disaster recovery images. So this is a compression path to put most of data on the media. Concerning the tools used to create the archiving, Google decided to use AFIO, which is a clone of CPIO, which is able to read CPIO format, and CPIO is also able to read AFIO format. The main difference between the two tools is that the compression is not done on the result of the CPIO of all the files you want to create in the archive, but on a file-by-file basis, which means each file is compressed individually, and the result is put in the archive, which makes it much more performant when you deal with disaster recovery, because if your media has an issue, if you have a problem, a bit error on your media, instead of losing the whole archive of all the files, you will just lose one file, which is much more interesting when you're dealing with disaster recovery topics. The image size that you generate can be of a variable size. You can precise it on the command line, or also the question when you're using the interface. You can create 615 megabyte CDs, 4,380 megabyte DVDs, or you can create whatever size you want if you're using the network, because you're not limited by the size of the ISO image. And you will reuse it through NFS, and you will mount it through NFS during the restore phase, so you won't have any problem of size if you deal with NFS. And it's using, so this is a solution which is working on a live system up to now. So you install your Mondo Rescue packages on your distribution, and you launch the fact that you want to create a disaster recovery image of your running system. So it has some drawbacks as well, because if you are running a database, for example, you need to stop it before. But it has also some good advantages. It's also using the running kernel on your system with the modules installed on your system. So you're sure that if you have a working configuration, it will also work during the restore, because it will use exactly the same configuration, same modules, and same kernel version. And here you have an example of the command line that we are able to pass to Mondo Archive. To give it the full path name of the kernel you want to use, it will find the modules from that. To say the size of the media you want to create, you can prefix the name of the image if you want to create an image, an ISO image with a name. For example, here I created through NFS on an NFS server, and so it will be machine1-1 for the first ISO image, -2 for the first second ISO image, etc. And you can exclude some directory from the backup. For example, you can say, this is a disaster recovery tool. I don't want to back up my 2 terabytes of data, personal files, very useful, such as MP3, video, whatever. So I do that with Bacula, for example, Amanda, whatever classical backup tool. And I focus only on the disaster recovery part. So I exclude my slash data, for example, and I only keep USR, lib, bin, etc., the system part. Of your system. So it's very nice to do archiving. It's also very nice to be able to restore things. And you have multiple ways of dealing with that. Mondo is a disaster recovery solution, so the main goal is that you boot from your media to reinstall your system from scratch. You can boot from physical media, as we said, so floppies are still supported. They will probably go away in some future versions, as we discussed, but you can boot from your CD, DVD, or if you use tapes, you can use a floppy with the tape to have the bootable part, because we do not support yet OBDR, for example, on tapes. And you can also boot from the network, so you can have a PXE boot your kernel and your modules from the network, mount the ISO images through NFS, and restore through the network completely. On some specific hardware platforms, such as ProLiant systems from HP, for which I'm working, you can use some very cool functions such as virtual media. Not very quick, but it allows you to have no media at all and to simulate a USB CD-ROM attached to the machine. You can do various types of restoration. You can do interactive restoration. You can do automatic restoration. You can fully automatic restoration if you plan it during the backup with the -H option. You can also do a comparison between your system. So you can boot your CD on a live, or you made on your live system, on the safe system, and ask for a comparison of what has changed since the last time I made my backup. It would be useful if you want to test if you need to redo your disaster recovery set, or if it's still working sufficiently correctly to restore your machine in the state it was. One nice thing about Mondo Restore is that you have the ability to change the layout of your file systems during the restoration. So, example, you crash your hard drive, you buy a new hard drive, but that new hard drive has not the same size as the previous hard drive, because the previous hard drive is an old one, 80 gigs, and now the new one is 200 gigs. So you need to also to retune your partitioning schema when you want to restore the data. So Mondo does not create, it does not dump a partition to store it. It really works at the file level, which means when it recreates the environment during the reboot for restoring the information, it recreates all the partitions one by one and restores the structure of all the files inside these partitions, which means that we have the possibility to change the layout of the partitions very easily because we are not linked to a size stored inside the media, for example. So that's very cool. Another function which is interesting, so the main goal is disaster recovery, but you can derive a bit the tool and use it for some other functions, such as cloning, which was my first goal, in fact, using Mondo Rescue. So if you have the knowledge of the target platform and the source platform very well, if they are the same, no problem. You create the image, and you will restore it on 10 server identical without any issue. You can even use the minus H option, and as the target and the master are the same, and you will have a completely automatic restoration on the target system, which is easy if you want to clone multiple servers to do the same thing. You have post-install script if you want to customize some parts. The best thing is to use DHCP in that case to have a completely standard configuration of the system. Now, if the two machines are not the same, you may have differences between the driver set from the original machine and the driver set that you will need on the target machine to be able to boot your system and to deploy your restore image. So if you have that knowledge, you can change some parameters inside the MIND environment to add the driver that you need to have during the restore on the new platform. In all these cases, the functions that we mentioned previously, such as partition resizing, file system type change, are also available. And we plan to add a new function in MIND, which will allow MIND to, currently it's computing the set of drivers from the original machine. We will add an option to integrate all the drivers from the original machine so that whatever the target platform you encounter, you will be able to recognize the hardware set in front of you and deploy on it. So that was my first approach of Mondo as a user. And it soon became obvious for me that it was not completely sufficient. The tool was not providing sufficient set of functions for my own usage inside HP and the solution center in which I'm working. So I produced some patches back in December 2000 for the cloning aspect. I began a port on Itanium platforms because I thought it was very interesting to have that type of tool on Itanium because there was no such tool and there is still no such tool on Itanium. I did not really publish the content. There was some divergence with the main code, so I forgot it for some years. And I worked back again in 2004 on the port and go up to the end. To a point, I was able to back up my own machine and restore it, which is probably the only thing it can do up to now. There are not enough parameters in it to support whatever Itanium machine that you may have below your desk. But it's not a big work to do to make the remaining part to support more distributions and more configuration on Itanium. I added also some ProLiant fixes for the support of the Smart Array driver in November 2004. And then at that time, the project migrated from CVS to Subversion. And problem began to arise in the project management at that moment. The machine on which the Subversion repository was deployed was not really stable and working. So I continued to make some patches for the PHP support because I'm working in a very large network environment and I had a lot of servers, so I need to do the deployment through PHP instead of using the physical media, which I don't really care. And there was no working Subversion to host the update of this modification I made on the project for more than 1 year, between around the migration, so around November 2004 till September 2005. And that upset me, and you know, I know it's scratching in it. You say that, like that, I think. So I was a bit upset by the fact there was no possibility for a small set of people wanting to push patches upstream to do that. So I created a subversion repository based on the latest published version of Mondo on a hosting solution in Europe, which is called BerlioS, which is such a SourceForge-like project. And I integrated the subversion in subversion, the latest status of the 2.04 version. And I added a set of patches which were lying around on the mailing list but that some people sent, plus the one I had for PHC, to create a new version based on 2.04 and asking the main person if he was happy with that and how he wanted to deal with it. And I will come back to that story just a bit later. Concerning PHC in itself, the integration of PHC consists in the fact that you have a special keyword. So this is an abstract of the configuration of your PHC server. It's a pxlinux.conf file. There is a special keyword that you can use, which is PHC, which triggers inside the init script of the Mondo Restore environment some actions, such as launching NFS, such as mounting through NFS the ISO image instead of trying to mount the local CD-ROM from the local CD drive. And you can pass a certain number of options which are typical to Mondo, which are described in the readme.phc.conf file. For example, you can give online the IP configuration either statically or with a keyword which is DHCP. You can precise which network interface you want to use for the deployment. And you can give, of course, where to find the original ISO image that you want to mount and on which export point it is on the original server. And you can also ping it a certain number of times because some network cards are quite slow to come up when you are in a restaurant environment like that. So it allows you, in fact, to do the backup of a set of servers. You can do all the backups on the same NFS server with prefixing all your image in a single subdirectory of your deployment server. And from that deployment server, you can take all these images and redeploy the system very easily. So it's very convenient for me because I'm working on solutions that are deployed for demo, for preparing events, for benchmark for customers. So it's a very convenient way for me to reconfigure a server on the fly very easily. Of course, as I'm working for HP, I try to use more of the hardware functionalities provided by the platform, and I added some functions inside Mondo to support more smoothly these hardware functions that we provide on our systems. But I welcome patches for other manufacturer platforms, of course. So if there are IBM people in the room, Dell people in the room, feel free to send me an email, and I will integrate patches for the support of your machine as well. That's not a big deal. So we have a special function attached to our management board, which is called virtual media function, which allows you to boot on your machine through the network, but through the special network, which is a network from the management board. And through that network, you see, in fact, a virtual media as if it was a local USB CD-ROM. So it's slow. A USB CD-ROM emulation is really slow, but it allows you, whatever the status of the machine, even if it's not, for example, I've been in environments of customers where they had a lot of firewalls everywhere, so they were not able to deploy the machine using the standard network. But the management network was with no firewall, so they were able to always do the deployment through that part of the network. So this is a function that has been added. You need to prepare your image having the USB virtual CD-ROM mounted on the system, and you create your image with that CD-ROM mounted even if it does not contain any value, because that way you will have all the drivers that you require during the restore, which will be stored inside the image that you are preparing. I also patched Mondo for better SmartRS support, new ProLiant NIC support, so the NX2 driver, for example. And what remains to be coded, and this will be one of the next steps, is to add special tools that HP is providing to do more configuration on the server during the restore. So that way we will be able to keep, for example, the hardware RAID configuration. So you have a server which has 4 disks in RAID 5. You will be able to store that information in the disaster recovery set, and when you restore your server, it will also recreate on the fly the hardware configuration of your system, of your client server. And same is true. So this is the first tool. The two other tools deal with the BIOS configuration of the system and the management card configuration on the system. So it becomes obvious that there was a problem with the maintenance of the project, and I had, in fact, on my side, two solutions. Let it die, which was the first possibility, and use something else, which would have been, for me personally, a pity, because I had already passed a certain amount of hours trying to understand how the project was working, how to add patches to the code, and I was using it extensively in the solution center as a solution for our deployment method. And in fact, it was not the right approach for me. So with the agreement of HP's management, I decided to become a project maintainer for the project. I already had this version existing, so it was already there. I just need to say yes to the fact I wanted to take over the maintenance of the project, which I thought was something quite easy, and which turned out to be not that easy, as you may guess. The Subversion repository is now hosted inside HP, inside the solution center in which I'm working. So sometimes it's a bit slow for the access, I'm sorry, but it's much more convenient for me to have the machine at hand to be able to add new functions on it, such as the nice track example you have here. Since I took over the maintenance, I published 8 different versions, so 204 first version, 205, 206, 7, 8, 9, and we have now a new branch 220, 221, which has been published just before the LPA 2007. I have worked a lot on, my background is software engineering, so I've worked a lot on producing the software in a clean way, which was not the case beforehand. So I have created a set of scripts which allows you to generate and build all the packages I want to create for my tool, for the various set of distributions I want to support. And I'm using QEMU as a virtual machine tool. I install, each time there is a new distribution I want to support, I create a QEMU entry, and I create a new virtual machine hosting that distribution. And it's added in a file in my environment, and that file is sourced through the build process, and it will just generate the set of packages on that supplemental additional platform automatically through the build process. So now the build process is 12 hours long on my own machine at home. And I only do i386 because the x86-64 machine's emulation is not really well working on top of an i32 machine. It would be way too long. So I need to find another way to deal with the x86-64 generation. Part of the work also I did is the website was quite old and unmaintained. In fact, it had good information up to 2003, but after there was it was really lagging behind the status of the software. So I recreated a complete new website that you have seen before, trying to put all the information on it. I have also some scripts to help me keep the information up to date on the website. Each time I make an announcement on, for example, on the mailing list, it goes automatically updating the news page on the website and the main page as well. And also I decided that I wanted more tools to help me with the project maintenance and development. And typically, a good HP friend recommended to me to look at Track. And Track is indeed an incredible tool. I mean, if you're involved in open source project management, please look at it. It brings you so much value that it's incredible. First, everything is based on a wiki. So it's easy for everybody to just correct my poor English. Sorry for that. Everybody can just put new commands, new fac, new procedure to use. I use Mondo in that way, in that environment. I just put a copy and paste on the mail I receive on the wiki, and that's very easy to maintain. Second point, it proposes to you a tracking system. So all bugs now are centralized and not floating on the mailing list, and I can keep track of all the bugs I can decide which bugs I will affect to which next release I want to publish. It helps me during the roadmap also. So it's very, very convenient. One of the problems is that we lost some information in time of the life of the project. There was a how-to written, probably in HTML originally, by someone, and I was never able, nor Google, to find it again. So I had to reconvert from HTML, the current version of the how-to, to recreate an HTML file that, from which I could regenerate the whole documentation. So now we have PDF, tag, whatever format that you can generate from a docbook directly from the website. And the most important point was to revive the mailing list activity. Mailing list is hosting around 400 people right now. And, well, as the main person developing it was not answering to the question, there was less and less questions on mailing list, of course. And so part of the activity around the maintenance task was to be on the mailing list, have time to answer questions, even sometimes very dumb questions. So that's life. You don't always have a user who are using your tool the way you expect it. So that's it. But that task is really important. If you want to that your project continue to live, you have to be there on the mailing list and answer the questions. And believe me, it takes time, much more time than I thought. And now I'm much more in a position to be not only the maintainer, as I said, during 1 year, but maybe more, as Andre is always introducing me, as a technical leader, which is very, very rewarding title for me. Recorder and technical leader, that's really nice. Trying to give some new headlines for the new development of the project. First thing is that there is a lot of code inside MongoReview I just dislike. It's not well written. But it exists. The tool exists and it serves its purpose and it's there and everybody can use it. It does a great job, in fact, in proposing disaster recovery solution, and not a lot of tools exist like that. So it's useful, but it's crap. That's it. So, yeah. Look at the code, I mean. And it's not mine, it's much more. My code inside Mondo is much more clean than the original code, you know? I'm not a very great, as I said, I'm not an expert such as the one who are just lying around here. I mean, just an ordinary C and shell coder. So I try to do my best, but I try to remove code which I find useless, which is my first task, reducing the size of the code to make it much more easy to maintain, rewriting some small low-level functions in C which are not very optimized right now to try to improve performances. The GZIP approach was also to improve performances. And memory management is just horrible. I mean, you have strcat, strcpy everywhere without any check. So you get what you get when you have long path names or whatever. It's just crashing. So I have a branch called trunk on which I'm planning to do the rewrite of the memory management system, which is 1,500 sprintf call has been changed to asprintf since the last year, and I don't count the rest of strcat or whatever. So it will be in the next 3.3.0 version. For 2.2.2, which will be the next milestone, no date is planned yet, because 2.2.1 is just out. I have already 23 bugs referenced for that version. I believe I will not sleep a lot during the next day, which was already the case to prepare that great presentation, so you know. So some big fix, some bug fixes on top of 2.2.1. By the way, 2.2.1 is I'm quite happy with it. It's quite stable. I fixed the remaining problems we introduced with the previous version. And one of the goals also is to do Gen2 Fedora official packaging. So trying to push. So I've listened to the marketing presentation on the other day. It was very great, and he said create packages for the distribution. So I already did that. Now what I try to do is that these packages become part of the official distribution, so that people just use the standard tool to install Mondo instead of going on our FTP site, downloading them, putting them on place. 3.0 will be a really new version with a lot of rewrites concerning memory management mainly, but not only, removing some stuff useless, maybe removing floppy support as well, we'll see. Trying to improve the build process for other architectures, which are not really optimized the way it's for IS-32 right now. Even more distributions, the main one being Edge. As soon as Edge is ready, I think we need to publish something to follow it. And Andre here is the Debian maintainer, so we are working really closely now to try to remove differences between Edge packages and my packaging build system. We will add internationalization, which I have not done. I received one day a mail from someone who said, oh, it would be very nice if Mondo could speak French. I say, hey, yeah, I'm French. Of course. That would be very obvious. And he said, okay, let me think to it. And 1 week later, I received a 1,200-line patch just doing internationalization inside media. I say, wow, great. That's what open source is bringing to you, by the way. We will have now configuration files, great improvement to externalize things which were hard-coded inside the tool, and more software engineering, because I believe it's really important to improve the quality of the software. So I began to write some test programs. With Andre, we are running tools such as Valgrind to try to improve memory management from the usage side. We'll see how it's improves things. And I want to thank a lot LCA 2000 because it was the unique occasion for me to meet the only other person with working on Mondo. So we had during that week the first worldwide Mondo Rescue Summit. Yeah. That was great. I just hope there will be a second one. So you should invite me next year to speak about the new version. Hint, hint. Okay, some resources that you will have on the presentation. And that's it. Questions, remarks, tomatoes, whatever. Thank you. You've got the right.
A question. Does it work off USB disks, assuming the hardware, USB flash drives, assuming the hardware supports it?
USB flash drives. That's a good point. I received a mail 3 weeks ago from an HP division using Mondo. I was not aware of it. And that division is using Mondo to create exactly clone systems. So they make systems in their lab, and they want to deploy those systems on customer side. And what they want to use is not media, not DVD or whatever to clone the system. They want to use USB keys. And so they asked me, would Mondo support USB keys? And I said, probably not like that. Because the target right now is either using CD record to create the CD with ISO Linux, with ISO Linux, for the boot part on the CD, or SysLinux if you are using floppies. But the target as a USB device has not been investigated up to now. So the nice thing about it is that it will be done because I will be paid for it by another HP division, which is just great. That is for my own division, of course. I'm part of the consulting organization, so each time I can be paid to do something, and if it's on Mondo, I'm just happy. It's not a very tough job to do. I need to check it. And also, I need to add one option so that I know that the target is USB type of device instead of, because it's working, of course, with USB CD-ROMs because it's a CD, but with another type of disk is that you want to make a bootable disk, in fact, which is a key or it could be USB key or USB disk external. That has not been done, and I need an option to say which is the type of the destination media. It's not very difficult to do, but I need also to do documentation, etc. So, couple of days. Yeah. as usual, the main problem is around the boot part of the recovery media. The rest is just working always, nearly always the same, whatever the platform and the environment.
All right, thank you very much, Bruno. That was marvelous.
Welcome. Thank you.
I'm sure Bruno will be around for a little while to answer any questions.
Yep.
And if you would like to head off to afternoon tea before the final presentation.